Welcome to the Intelligence Briefing, What's the Buzz? Where leaders and hands-on experts in AI and automation share how they have turned hype into outcome. I'm your host, Andreas Welch, and if you would like to stay current on running AI in business, make sure to sign up for my newsletter at intelligence-briefing.com. Today, we'll talk about managing your automation risk. And, you know, who better to talk to about it than someone who's actually built a framework around it? Ralph Diaz. Ralph, thank you so much for joining.
Hey, Andreas. Very glad to be here. Very excited about having this conversation on risk.
Awesome. Hey, I know many people in the audience know you from your memes on LinkedIn. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do?
Absolutely. So apart from being funny, I'm actually quite serious, or I was serious, not anymore. Probably my entire career was very much in the risk and compliance space, having started my career in Big Four, really managing large projects around IT risk, security, very much focused initially on large scale ERP deployment, where I was managing the security aspect of these deployments. And then really I start moving into a more automation driven role where pretty much I was looking around how to modernize risk and compliance in general, and also helping business functions also start getting the most out of automation in all the sense of the words, from all the possible spectrum, hardcore automation up to really UI automation. But really I started getting that role when I was in my previous employer, large pharma company, and I've been tasked to run initially this whole program, which was the difficult part around aligning all stakeholders, putting in place the operating model. And as part of that work, we had to deal with the risk and compliance element around how to ensure that ultimately everything we deploy at speed always is kind of governed and managed and monitored appropriately, specifically when you operate in a highly regulated industry. So I spent maybe 50% of my time dealing with compliance. The technical part was easy, but it's pretty much making sure that all the risk and compliance function from first line, second line, even our external auditors are actually happy with the way we're going to manage really the risk around this whole initiative. So that's where really maybe I become an expert in risk around automation.
That's awesome. It really sounds like you've seen quite a lot in from a lot of different angles. And I think to your point, if you've done it in pharma, in a regulated industry, then you for sure know the ins and outs.
Sure. You suffer a lot.
Yes, exactly. So maybe point to the audience. So if you're just joining the stream, please drop a comment in the chat. What's one risk you typically see in automation projects? Just so we get the dialogue a little going and we'll pick up on those comments. Your background is in risk and in compliance. And one of my favorite frameworks is a decision tree that I've seen you have created, and it's all about risk. And I know you posted that a while ago. For anyone that hasn't seen it yet, maybe can you describe some of the core points of it and some of the key risks that one should clarify before starting an automation project?
Absolutely. It's a framework that allows to maybe count sometimes your ambition. I know that when there is automation, some people are very ambitious and they want to automate everything suddenly. Everything that didn't work, automation is not going to really solve that magically. Yeah? So it's just a framework to understand that when you have a use case, what do you want to automate and to what extent? That's probably the first question you ask. And every use case, it's about, for me, a type of automation. You have use cases that are very heavily driven around automation to extract, transform information, which is already quite big when you start mixing structured, semi-structured, and structured data. That's by itself, it's a project. But some automation can be very much focused on, you already have all those connectors from off-the-shelf systems. So you don't really need to build that kind of automation, but you might need to inject way more automation around the analysis. And that's again another type of automation where you will bring certain tools and really try to have the analysis as a key use case for automation. And obviously it evolves. You extract, analyze. There is this additional step, which is way more complex by nature, because that's where really you start using some cognitive intelligence here. because you need to take decision on the back of some information analysis. And that decision sometimes can be very easy, black or white, binary A or B, or can be super complex because you need to take a lot of contextual elements into your decision-making process. And last, really, when you take that decision, you need to implement a decision. That's what, for me, it's an automation driven on being able to go and implement or trigger an action that will go into any backend system, do some activities, but really it's the end for me, the automation. So long story short, for me, any use case have at least one of those four type of automation. If you have the four of them, perfect. You're trying to go end-to-end automation. If you have one or two, you're trying to maybe partially automate something and leave the rest for the human to do it. So I think then when you have these in mind, exactly what type of automation you are trying to do, that's where you come around, okay, to what extent I'm going to actually automate? Am I going to have a low level of automation, which is still highly dependent on human? Or are you going to go to the other side of the spectrum where you are actually saying, you know what, it's going to be pretty much full-blown automation, where some automation is going to pretty much do the information acquisition, analysis, decision-making, action implementation in a fully autonomous way. Exactly what do you want here? I would say the first answer is I want to go like full automation, but it's not simple because it depends on a lot of factors. And here again, you start hitting some risk that you need to take into account because of the complexity of the data you're trying to get into the automation workflow, or because also of the criticality of the process, where you can't really afford to be so highly automated because you might have risk. So talking about the risk, this funnel of risk allow you to maybe just conceptualize whatever use case you have, whatever automation types you want to enable, whatever automation level you want to reach. Then you start asking some key questions. And the first one would be, really, what's the risk of a negative outcome of automation? Yes, automation, obviously the happy path is that it always works, always going to deliver something amazingly fast without any human intervention. But what happened when something bad happened? And actually, to be honest, big, large project automation got tend to fail kind of on a periodic basis with obviously recovery operations on the back, but automation failed, a human failure. And I think you need to understand the importance of what's the impact of those failure. And is it aligned with your risk appetites? When you have an automation, let's say managing financial closing process, and suddenly it fails during the monthly closure, what's going to be the risk of that if you cannot actually recover quickly? Well, maybe very high because you cannot really report your finances. So that's maybe one question you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to be aspiring from reaching such high level of automation. So I'm going to recalibrate a bit my initial ambition and inject a bit of human in the middle here to actually ensure that this operation is conducted almost without any problem. Yeah, that's a negative outcome. I think it's big for me. You have the technology deployments. Yes, you want to do amazing stuff around unstructured data. Is the technology ready? Do you have the necessary skills from a project mode, from a BAU activity to actually being able to maintain such a complex technology? That's also something to take into account. Yeah, I think some companies want to do a lot, but when you realize the effort that you need to put in order to be able to maintain a technology structure, it's not easy anymore. Yeah, you need experts, you need to pay for it. A risk of user adoption, obviously, that's the biggest one. Yeah, you have an amazing automation, but there is a kind of resistance, a change management process that's not happening well, and you have pretty much a rejection of automation. And this can take many forms. I'm not going to drill down in this one. Happy to take a question, but also I've explored a lot around what do we mean by rejection and into which context. And one important, really, I think specifically when you try to automate a mission critical activity, I see it's the risk of situation awareness. Human, even if you monitor and you outsource this monitoring function to many human, which needs to be 24/7 follow the sun monitoring, that you still have a bit more control, to be honest. And these human are still very much aware around procedures, how they run it. When there is an environmental changes, they can quickly recalibrate. Not as easy as an automation when you need to go through the entire change management design process and push that back into production. I think it's way more easy for human really to be aware of any situational change. And I think that when you have automation, there is a lot of issue around pushing everything into automation, not having any more human really fully in the loop And then when something bad happens again, these humans are unable to recover those operations. Even if you have a handbook, even if during your project, you keep your SOP, if humans are not trained, if humans don't actually manage those processes on a daily basis, they're going to lose the situational awareness. Even if there is a failure, they're going to take a lot of time to recover. And risk of reliability. I think for me also, that's a big risk when you have automation that move into really the complexity of cognitive automation, relying on a lot of data, structured, unstructured, and taking data of multiple data sources, internal, external, you start having also a reliability risk. What happened actually if this automation fail, or how can I trust the automation? And sometimes to be able to audit a certain algorithm or ensure that post a project, this algorithm remain consistent, structured, you know, and complete and accurate. And also it's a lot of work. Yeah. It's not like you unleash something and then it's going to work forever. So being able to continuously rely on automation, it's a big exercise in terms of people, expert that needs to be always there to ensure that reliability level. So these are really a bunch of risks. I have more risk, but if you think that the framework is around 12 high level risks that I've called out, these are, I mentioned 4 or 5. But yeah, automation is complex. There are going to be those kind of risks, but risk can be mitigated. I'm not saying, oh, these risks are here. Let's stop everything. And you know what? Let's go back to everything human, manual. It's amazing. Absolutely not. I think, first of all, your initial aspiration can be recalibrated so that you have a bit more human involvement. But if you still want to aspire for high level of automation, you need to put in place mitigating control, remediation actions, a lot of monitoring activities, which need to be in place to ensure ultimately that those risks are always under control. And monitoring activity, the more also you monitor, your monitoring activities are automated by nature, well, the more you're going to be able to place reliance on the model also. So I'm not saying remediate automation by putting more automation, but monitoring needs to be in place so that you ensure that all those risks are always under acceptable level and really are aligned with your risk appetite ultimately as an organization.
So Ralph, I think that's a great point you're making, right? Risks will always be there, but it's a matter of how you plan for them, how you plan for their mitigation, and that you're aware of them in the first place, that they do exist, and that you make a conscious decision to what extent you're able to, or able and willing to accept those risks. I'm curious, where have you applied it, or what would be one use case that you can share where you've applied it, and how has it helped in that?
I mean, part of my job initially was to deploy RPA, and obviously the big use cases were on processes that require a lot of human intervention, actually managed by service provider, outsourced somewhere, and also kind of from a compliance perspective, those were also processes where a lot of audit findings, a lot of process errors were actually there that cost quite a lot initially. And these are initially big cases for us around, let's go and hit those processes. Let's ensure that maybe a process that have a bunch of stocks controls in there that have failed previously because of the human issues, not being able to run the control properly, happen a lot. So let's have automation to actually run a process and at the same time run those controls, which was a big win-win from an operational perspective and a compliance perspective. But, and again, we start hitting the finance processes, and I was talking about the financial closing process, super important process that takes information from multiple systems, SAP included, then consolidate all of these, put it in another system, and then having a lot of manual step around that. And yes, we realized that quickly that initially it was all structured data. So the case was like, well, super simple. You don't have anything to worry about. You're not going to bring intelligence and additional tech to actually deliver the outcome. But then we realized that, yeah, the steps are there. You can't really rationalize, optimize those steps. You can't eliminate any step. These are very procedural regulated steps that you need to follow. So ultimately we went through the funnel and we start to understand and we realized that, you know what, if this happened, suddenly the bot doesn't run on the certain frequency. Even if we put a trigger and the trigger doesn't really connect back to the RPA control room because of a connectivity issue, whatever. But there were so many issues, that so many what could go wrong in the process then yeah, then initially you say, you know what, a very simple process, which actually when you bring it into this RPA selection process matrix that we have, when you put a lot of numbers, etc., and then you say amazing for automation. Yeah, it was amazing for automation. But this tool didn't took into factor the risk that this could have on a highly regulated industry, not being able actually to work when it has to work, and when it fails, being able to recover, because you can't recover this in order to be able to actually go back into an SAP table that is actually critical by nature. You need to absolutely have a credential first in the privileged access management system. So you need to be a trained user. Then once you have it, you need to jump on the privileged access, elevate your access, log in into the instance. It was huge. So initially we had the ambitious to actually to do pretty much full automation, but you know what? We're just going to have partial automation, extraction of X and Y, Z, sending this to human reviewing, sense check, validity check, and then always human inputting back this into the consolidation system manually. But obviously with RPA, having done a lot of swivel chair around taking data, putting it bad, well, etc., and then themselves really ultimately a human loading the final template into the consolidation and reporting system. But because of the risk and the appetite that we didn't want to do, even if the automation was achievable and feasible without having to do anything fancy, but the risk was too high.
I think that's a very important point, and I'm sure the audience will appreciate that as well. I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, we were hearing a lot about lights out finance and autonomous procurement and these kinds of buzzwords and aspirations and visions. So I feel it's very grounding as well to hear from you. Hey, we've aspired to accomplish this, but then when we've looked at the risks and we've weighed the pros and cons and the impact in our industry, in our business, we've actually made a conscious decision not to go that far and to stop a little sooner, but still have that human in the loop. I think that's the other component that I feel is very important also then in those automation programs.
No, absolutely. And I think it's always very easy to say that when automation fail, we have a very well-written contingency plan with steps where we have speedy recovery, etc. I don't buy that, specifically when you have a complex process. Yes, you have an amazing contingency plan, recovery steps. This needs to be run by people, yeah? Ultimately, this is run by a support function somewhere outsourced so that you rely again on people on a 24/7 shift. It's very simple to say, we have a recovery, don't worry. Some processes, you can't even rely on contingency book and recovery steps because you know that there is a big risk that the human who's going to be actually those operation is not going to be trained enough. He's not going to be there in a timely manner. So it's great to always think about what happened if the automation failed. Yes, we have processes to recover, but if you bake in the risk again and the risk is critical, you don't even want to go that way. You stop there. Yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So I see we're already a bit over time. So maybe let's summarize. What I'm taking away from our conversation is, you know, take a look at the risk framework. Again, I really love what you've put together and how you've described it just now as well. There's so many different risks and, you know, we've only touched on four or five of them. But to get this 360 degree view of automation, on one hand, what is possible when we all get excited about it, but let's also be realistic of where some of the limitations are and to what extent we, our business and our industry is willing to take on that. So, folks, we're getting close to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Ralph, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. Really appreciate it.
Perfect. Yes. Thanks everyone who joined.
Thank you so much for joining and learning with us. See you next time for another round of the Intelligence Briefing, What's the Buzz?